Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, living off with people, a variety talk show whose only mission to is to empower you.
And I started to push myself, and she didn't let me push you. And I turned around, and I remember this 48 years later, of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning, that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. Today I have Dr. Shoshana Bennett. She's a clinical psychologist, author, and founder of Postpartum Assistance for Mothers. Dr. Shosh knows the struggle. She's also a survivor of two life-threatening, undiagnosed postpartum depressions. She has helped over 17,000 women recover from depression in pregnancy and postpartum. Dr. Shoshana Bennett is the author of Pregnant on Prozac, The Essential Guide to Making the Best Decisions for You and Your Baby, and Postpartum Depression for Dummies. Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. I've been hearing the term postpartum for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain to us exactly what it is?
Well, postpartum depression happens to about 1 in 7 women. We're talking about 15 to 20%. It's a very high statistic. And about 80% of women experience something very normal. I mean, the baby blues, it's mild and it's transient. It's usually gone by about 2 weeks postpartum. But postpartum depression is much more serious than that. It's considered a real disorder, and it's caused mainly by the plummeting of the reproductive hormones, estrogen and progesterone, upon delivery. And that in turn affects the neurotransmitters in the brain, the brain chemicals. Certainly there are other factors which tend to collide at the same time. I mean, sleep deprivation can certainly be a big factor, and poor nutrition or isolation or, you know, poor partner support, poor social support, not adequate physical support, so she gets some breaks, things like that. But it's primarily a disorder that's caused by the brain chemistry shifting.
I didn't know that. Wow. As I mentioned in the introduction, you had two undiagnosed postpartum depressions.
Yes.
When did you realize that you had it, and how did you get through it?
Oh, you know, I went through 2.5 years the first time around. My daughter was 2.5 when I finally looked at her said, maybe I can do this mom stuff. I mean, I had lost myself. My pregnancy was fine, but when I delivered, as soon as I delivered, I knew there was something very, very wrong with me. I had scary thoughts going through my mind, horrible sleeping problems, insomnia. I couldn't sleep even when she slept at night. Very low self-esteem, hopelessness. I really felt my life was over. There was nothing but doom and gloom. I was overwhelmed with everything, appetite problems. One way or the other, I was either eating everything in sight and couldn't stop, or I had lost my appetite. It kind of shifted back and forth. I was very irritable and angry and short-tempered, which, again, is all of these things are very unlike the real me. And this went on for years. There was really no help for me back in the 80s. I was never diagnosed. I did not know what that was. It was just devastating, and all the relationships within the family were certainly affected. A very hard time bonding with my child. But when I started to recover at about 2.5 years, and I got myself back, my husband and I decided to have another baby. And again, the pregnancy went fine, but I plummeted again, because once you have one postpartum depression, you're very high risk to have it again, especially if you haven't been treated appropriately. And I again went undiagnosed. So it was within a year, about a year into my second suicidally depressed postpartum depression, that I saw a television program. And this woman on television was describing what I had been experiencing on and off for years. And I sat there and bawled. It's like, oh, my, you know, I saw myself, you know, being described. And I said,
right.
I thought to myself, there's a name for this, and there's some treatment. I mean, why had my family and I been allowed to suffer the way we did? So it was right at that moment, sitting in front of the television, I vowed to myself, if I had anything to do about it, I would never let a mom and her family suffer the way we did. So it became my passion, I mean, my mission to educate mental health professionals, medical professionals, and the public so we could avoid unnecessary suffering.
Is that what led you into psychology?
Absolutely. I was a special education teacher.
Okay.
Until then, and this was my children, of course, were very, very young, but I started leading support groups out of my living room in Northern California, and you know, every week women would fill my living room. Between 5 and 15 women would be there, driving miles or even flying in from Hawaii to come to a support group. And then I started studying more formally later on. I got a second master's in psychology, and then went on to get a PhD and got licensed as a clinical psychologist. But this was an absolute career change for me.
And I'm glad it did, because you don't only speak as a psychologist. You also speak from experience, and I think coupled with both of those is why you've been so successful at helping so many women see this. What are some signs that people can look for in a friend or a family member?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Yes. Well, certainly if the woman is, if she's past 2 weeks postpartum, even if the symptoms are very mild, like mild teariness and ups and downs and anxiety, and she should get some help. But also if the severity of the symptoms get in the way of her daily functioning, even if it overlaps the first 2 weeks, she shouldn't wait. I mean, a loved one can approach her with, honey, you deserve to be happy. You know, this isn't a weakness. You know, this happens to the best, you know, the best moms on the planet. You know, here, let's get you some help. I'll call a healthcare practitioner that you trust, and we'll get you some treatment. So, you know, again, to help her if she's feeling inadequate, if she's feeling ashamed, if she's feeling less than, just to assure her that this isn't her fault, and she didn't ask for this, and this is, you know, more common than gestational diabetes or any other very common perinatal disorder. No shame should be attached to this at all. So those are the kinds of things, you know, if she's not able to sleep at night when her baby sleeps, or if she's lost her appetite, or if she's worried about everything, she's not able to relax. Those are the kinds of things you look for.
Now, could it be misdiagnosed as something else, like maybe she's going through low self-esteem? Or...
Well, certainly. Certainly. And it often is a misdiagnosed or not diagnosed at all. Certainly low self-esteem is a symptom of depression. So, for instance, if a new mom is saying, my baby doesn't like me, or my baby is rejecting my milk, you know, those aren't normal statements of a new mother. So loved ones should really pay attention to that. If she's feeling like, you know, I'm not adequate as a mother, everybody else can do this better than I can. What's wrong with me? Those are the things that you want to listen for.
Now, what if before they were pregnant, they might have been struggling with things like that? Could postpartum escalate that, or is that another reason why maybe some are misdiagnosed?
Oh, that's an excellent question. If you're asking if a previous history of some depression or some of those issues, can make it worse, you bet. I mean, what happens with the hormones is that whatever's hanging around in that mom, you know, beforehand goes over the line. You know, it gets exaggerated so that it can become a real disorder. So, yes, she might have had – it puts her at high risk, in other words. So if she's had low self-esteem, certainly if she's had a personal history of depression, even a family history of depression or another mood disorder, it puts her at high risk for a postpartum depression, yes.
So when, you know, someone say, oh, well, that's just how she is. No, that's – you're saying that – that needs to be looked at. If
yes,
someone has low self-esteem and stuff like that, we can't ignore it.
That's exactly right. You don't want to dismiss it and say that's just how she is. I mean, she deserves to feel better, and she's suffering. She might be thinking that's just how I am. There's no hope for me. But certainly loved ones around her need to say, you know, you deserve better. I mean, you're a good person. You're a good mom. You're, you deserve to feel happy. Let's get you some help. And if she was depressed before, well, sometimes it takes hitting a crisis. You know, having a child and being thrust even deeper into a depression to finally do something about it. So she can use the postpartum depression as something good to get rid of whatever was hanging around before.
Who are there specific candidates for postpartum depression?
There are factors that make women high risk, but I do want your listeners to know, Yvonne, that no one is immune.
Okay.
So even without any history at all of depression, I mean, the happiest, most upbeat people, you know, the most laid-back people that just let things roll right off their back, they are not immune. They can certainly be hit with a very hard depression postpartum. But certainly if there's a personal history or a family history of depression or other mood disorder, if they have reacted with negative mood changes to the birth control pill, it makes her higher risk. If she's had a severe PMS in the past, we know that she reacts to hormone changes. Well, you know, that's certainly an indication that she might have a postpartum depression, because there is no bigger hormone change than having a baby.
Right.
So, yes, there are high-risk factors.
So it has to do with health and some type of chemical thing that takes place during the pregnancy.
That is definitely a part of it.
Okay.
For most women. But again, if she's isolated, any mom who is taking care of her baby for more than 8 hours a day, day after day after day, she's very high risk. Social isolation puts her at high risk. So there are other factors like that that we need to watch for. I mean, all moms need support. Right? I mean, not just those who are high risk. I mean, moms, this is a hard job. It's the hardest job on the planet. Taking care of a kid.
Is there like a time period, like say, if she's going to have postpartum, you'll see the signs within the first 2 weeks?
Anytime up to the first year.
Okay.
Yep. So often what happens is women, you know, at 7, 8, 9 months postpartum will go to their OB and say, I don't feel like me. You know, I feel like I've lost myself. The OB, unless the OB knows better, often says to the patient, the woman, well, this can't be postpartum depression. Your baby's too old. That is incorrect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or they may, you know, too, can camouflage it. You know, they can, they, it's part of their nature not to let people know what's going on.
Oh, certainly.
So,
I'm just saying if they come forward,
yeah.
You know, often they're, it's dismissed as, no, it's probably something else, which is not necessarily so. Sure, I mean, there's a great deal of stigma and shame that women still feel very unnecessarily, but they still feel it. And, yeah, often these women will say, oh, everything's fine, I'm doing fine, and truly they're not doing fine. They're suffering greatly, and they're suffering in silence. And my message is, please don't suffer in silence. There's nothing to be ashamed about. And this hits every culture. It hits across the world very consistently. So, you know, often I'll hear from various cultures, from various, you know, folks from various countries around the world, I'll hear, well, this doesn't happen in my country. You know, I'm thinking,
right.
Oh, yes, it
right.
does. Everywhere women are having babies, this happens at about the same percent. Very interesting. Our cross-cultural studies are fabulous. And, you know, or often I'll hear, well, no, you know, my people don't get that. You know, we're supposed to be stronger than this. You know, we just hold together. The family comes together. You know, we're supposed to buck up and handle it. This happens to other people. Not
right.
true. It happens to everyone. So often I will get very hushed calls saying, don't tell my husband, don't tell my mom. You know, I'm feeling awful, but I'm told by my mother that I'm just supposed to be able to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I mean, my mom had a few kids. She didn't have any problem. What's wrong? You know, there's a great deal of shame. And, again, my message is this, wherever women are having babies around the world,
right.
it is happening at this. We're talking 1 in 7.
Right. And,
mm-hmm.
and to people have to stop approaching depression like that, too.
It's not a weakness.
Right.
It is not a weakness. This is an illness. And it does not mean weakness. I mean, I consider myself a pretty tough cookie. I've been through a lot in my life. I will not bore anybody by going into the details of the trauma that I've gone through. But, you know, when this hit, I could not get myself up off the couch. I could barely move. It was either that or I was rushing around completely anxiety ridden, having scary thoughts in my head. I mean, it can be a very, very scary thing. And I just thought, I'm losing it. I'm losing my mind. I'm the weakest mother on the face of the planet. I should never have had children. You know, now I realize if this can happen to me, it can happen to anybody, because that was not me at all.
Now, you talk about the, like we were just saying, the those that are afraid to,
yeah.
you know, or to admit that it's an issue or that it's the hush-hush, you know, let's keep it quiet.
Right.
What are the risks of it being untreated?
Oh, well, the worst of which is suicide, and sometimes a mom takes a baby with her. That's certainly the worst of the worst. Suicide is definitely a risk. And or she, you know, the quality of her life is extremely damaged. And postpartum depression does not necessarily go away on its own. I mean, like with any other disorder, the faster you jump on it and get some help, get some treatment, which, by the way, is not necessarily medication. There's a lot one can do without being on psychiatric meds. But anyway, treatment is important as soon as possible. So the prognosis for the whole family is better when the mom gets treated. I mean, if the mom's not okay, no one's okay.
Right. Uh-huh.
So it is her utmost responsibility, her top responsibility, to make sure that she is happy and healthy and whole.
Right.
And the rest of her family will benefit.
Can it be prevented?
You know, often yes. It actually can, and I'm all about prevention. Yvonne, I'm sure you're on the same page with that. I mean, let's prevent the suffering whenever possible, so we don't even go there. And in Postpartum Depression for Dummies, I outline ways one can do that, and also Pregnant on Prozac. I do the same thing, and I'll be happy to give your listeners some tips. But certainly realistic expectations of motherhood, you know, and realizing what it might look like in the house and what you should expect of yourself and what you shouldn't expect of yourself is important. Getting rid of those myths of motherhood, you know, like I should be able to do this all myself and I shouldn't need any breaks away from my kid if I loved my kid enough. And breastfeeding is always easy. And, you know, this should be the happiest time in my life when the baby first comes home from the hospital. I mean, you know, these are myths, you know, but if we're thinking that they're true and those don't happen for us, then we think we're inadequate. So that's very important. Also, sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation can cause postpartum depression. So I don't believe a mother should be the only one on duty at nighttime. Sleep is a medical necessity. It's not a luxury. So, you know, the question is, who is going to be on duty to help her at nighttime? Maybe she can split the night. She's on duty for half the night, and then the other half, somebody else is on duty. And that can give her a full sleep cycle, and it can keep her serotonin, one of the most important mood-regulating brain chemicals, in place, and it can prevent a depression. What is she eating? Does she have good omega-3 fish oil in her? Does she have the right nutrients feeding her brain chemistry? This can make or break a depression. Does she have good social support, as we were talking about earlier in the show? Does she have somebody to lean on, somebody to talk to? Or is she all by herself, you know, feeling stranded? Does she have somebody taking over some chores or giving her breaks throughout the week so she can nurture herself? You know, do whatever helps her feel like a full human being herself. I mean, whether that means a manicure, a massage, a walk around the park, talking with her friends, you know, something just to help her feel like she's not on duty all the time. These are some of the key ingredients to preventing depression.
And this is
before the baby even comes, you set up a plan.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. That plan of action is, I love it when pregnant women call me. I love it because I know she's going to be set up for a plan for wellness, you know, before she delivers. Yeah.
Now, what if someone says, you know, I can't afford to go see a doctor?
There are certainly, well, actually, I encourage them to go to my website, for one, which is clearsky-inc.com. There are some free downloads, also so a lot of information about how to get onto online chat rooms or support groups, often don't have fees, or sometimes one session with a qualified therapist can get her a plan of action. She doesn't necessarily have to be in ongoing therapy. So frequently women will call me for, you know, one session and I'll get together a plan of action, a very simple plan of action. She doesn't have to go out and buy stuff. I mean, it's just talking about who is in her network. How can we set up a great plan for her so that she doesn't have to worry about spiraling down? And that's all she needs.
You might have touched on this already. What are some possible solutions aside from medication?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that because I'm known as the natural whenever possible therapist. I mean, I'm certainly not against medication if she truly needs it in order to function and feel like herself, but, you know, at least to help her out of crisis. But, again, sleep, extremely important. Nighttime sleep, not daytime sleep, nighttime sleep, and great nutrition, and the supports. These are all natural. There are also other natural treatments we know about and we're learning much more about, such as acupuncture, such as phototherapy, you know, light therapy, such as certain herbs. We have to be careful with that. Herbs are medicine, and they're very powerful. So I don't want anybody just going to, you know, into the health food store and buying stuff. You got to be careful with that.
Right.
Especially with safety in pregnancy and nursing too. And by the way, I do outline that in Pregnant on Prozac, so that one knows the up-to-date research as far as what's safe and what's not during pregnancy and nursing. So there are various treatments out there. gosh, there's energy psychology techniques, EMDR, EFT, emotional freedom technique, that can be very, very useful, both with depression and anxiety. So this is the kind, I mean, there are whole chapters that I devote to this because I'm passionate about not taking medication if at all possible.
You started an organization called Prozac Assistance for Mothers.
No, postpartum assistance.
Postpartum.
For mothers. Yes.
<I'm sorry. laughs>
Definitely
Prozac.
Not Prozac Assistance.
Stop that. Okay.
That's great.
Postpartum.
Uh-huh.
For mothers.
Right.
What can you? I mean, could you tell us a little bit about what this organization is about?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, what I did was launch support groups in the area, but usually postpartum assistance for mothers now is in Northern California. But again, what I do as part of that service is give consultations and have coaching programs out there so that there are CDs and things also to support women no matter where they live, and I work by phone, so a woman from New York or Minnesota can call me just as easily. So that is part of my organization as well. But I train other mental health professionals in the area and around the country and medical professionals so that they can do more of what I do.
You also, speaking of Prozac, you wrote Pregnancy on Prozac, The Essential Guide to Making the Best Decision for You and Your Baby.
Yes.
And Postpartum Depression for Dummies.
Right.
I know you can't really go into all of them, but what can people get from these books?
Well, Pregnant on Prozac is the newest one. That book was written. The publisher asked me to write it because women often find themselves on psychiatric medication, and they find themselves pregnant, and they're freaking out. I mean, they want to do the best thing for themselves and also their growing babies, and they don't know what to do. So what I do is outline what you do and what you don't do. One of the things you should never do is get off your medication cold turkey. That can be very dangerous for everybody concerned. So you should contact a healthcare practitioner you trust, preferably the one who wrote the prescription, and they'll help to guide you from there. But also women who are high risk for depression in pregnancy or anxiety or bipolar disorder, for instance, and they want to know what their treatment options are in pregnancy. I outline those in Pregnant on Prozac. So it's for women who know they're high risk, women who are doing fine but they just want to prevent a disorder, women who are already suffering and they're pregnant, or they're already suffering and they want to get pregnant, and they want to know what their options are. You will find all of that written very, very simply in Pregnant on Prozac. So it is a comprehensive resource guide for women. And really, it's the only one of its kind. There has never been a book written that has all of this information there that will help women stay off the Internet. You know, you never know what you're going to see on the Internet.
Right, right.
So I've got all the proper resources and the up-to-date information in there. Postpartum Depression for Dummies is, well, all the Four Dummies series is very, very easily read, step-by-step guide to recovery. And it's modular, meaning that you don't have to sit down and read that book cover to cover. I remember when I was very depressed, there's no way I could have picked up a book. I couldn't process, you know, what was written on a page. My attention span was so short. So you can scan for the places you want. For instance, reading about how to get rid of the stigma of using a medication or getting therapy, or reading about how you set up a sleep plan for yourself when maybe you don't have a partner or the partner's working at nights. It gives you ways to overcome those challenges. You can just read the parts that you want. And often the feedback I've gotten from women is that not that the book will necessarily replace speaking with a professional, but you know what? Sometimes it really does. They pick up that book, they go through it step by step, and that's all they need.
Yeah, I think that's that's a, I'm glad that you have those books out there, because I think for a lot of people, they have, you know, stuck in their head, well, if I'm seeing a psychologist, something, you know, I don't want, they don't want to take it to, they assume that it means that they're crazy.
They're crazy, exactly, and they're all, yeah, and they're really worried about that stigma. Yeah.
Right,
and that's,
right.
That's, it's like if there was something really, 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 really wrong with your tooth, you wouldn't go, you know, to a proctologist. You go to
right.
a dentist. You
right.
know, this is the same thing. If there's something that, you know, is that you need help with postpartum, you go to a specialist in postpartum, which, and the best specialists, I think, or at least one that shouldn't be ignored, would be a therapist who specializes in this particular area. And remember, this doesn't mean that you have to keep going and going and going. It might mean you have a few sessions, you get a great plan of action, and you're out of there. Yeah, but no stigma should be attached to this at
yeah.
all. As a matter of
yeah.
fact, I think you need a pat on the back and say, good for me. I'm getting
right.
the help I need, which will in turn help my family. And be proud of yourself that you're doing that.
What is the main thing that you want mothers to get?
There's great help out there. Don't suffer in silence. And, you know, feel free to give me a call. But, you know, the best gift to your family is a happy you. So do whatever you need and get that support you need. And that's my main message. And Yvonne, I'd be so happy to help any of your listeners. They can get online, you know, go to clearsky-inc.com, or they can call me. I'll be happy to give my phone number if you'd like.
That's up to you.
Okay, 925-735-3099. And again, this is my mission. It's my passion. It helps give my suffering meaning. I know now why I needed to go through all that, you know. And and I know where you're coming from too, Yvonne, having listened to, you know, the introduction of your show and knowing a bit about your show. I know this isn't my work at all. It's God's work. And
right.
I, you know, the more I can spread help and, you know, help families out there, I know that's what I was meant to do. So I'm so, so happy to help whoever I can.
Could you give that, now the website that has the book, your books
mm-hmm.
and your services?
Sure. That website is Clear Sky, so CLEARSKY-INC.com. But Postpartum Depression for Dummies, Pregnant on Prozac, people can go directly to Amazon also. They can go into bookstores, and the books are certainly should be carried there.
Dr. Shoshana Bennett, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this information. And thank you for being a vessel.
Oh.
And taking what you've been through, and now you're reaching out to prevent other women from going through that, and I truly commend you for that.
Yvonne, thank you so much for your kind words and for the opportunity to share my mission with your listeners. Thanks again.
Thank you.
No matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.